Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things called impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, O God, for your faithfulness, your goodness to us. We thank you, dear Lord, that our hope each day, in each circumstance, in every situation, Lord, our hope could be anchored in your promises and in the goodness that and faithfulness that you represent and present to us each day. Father, we thank you that we can gather together in peace, that we can gather together with hope, we can gather together with one heart and one mind, and that is to glorify you with our lives and allow you to take full possession of these vessels that Jesus purchased to your glory and to his glory with his own blood. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to freely worship you and pray for those who do not have that opportunity. And we give you praise, Father, for your goodness in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I've got. There's so many verses, so many doors into the message, you might say, and I've got several written down here that we'll try to get to. But the Lord put one on my heart this morning as we were driving in, and I was debating whether to go there or not. But I just opened my Bible right to that page, so I'd say that's probably a good indicator that's where we're supposed to start. But let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And largely we're going to be speaking or looking at the topic of light. Of light. So Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll just stay with verses 11 through 13. Where Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, wherefore remember, or therefore remember, as he just, verse 10, talked about, we are his workmanship. We are what God is doing today. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, without a Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Having no hope. And without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Paul is not just randomly stating doctrine here. He is detailing here a very real and specific fact that God came to Abraham, said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a nation to be called by my name. I'm going to give you a land. And in throughout the Old Testament, he did not come to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, I'm speaking post Abraham, after this invitation to Abraham. And he said to Abraham, I'll make you the father of many nations. So there was a kind of a hope buried within the promises of God to Abraham. But God's dealings up until this time, until the time of Christ's birth and his atoning work, that was all to fulfill promises that God had made to Israel. But as we won't go there, but in the right now anyway, but the Old Testament does speak of that there is a light, a great light coming to the world to lighten the Gentiles. So there was hope. There was hope in the promises, in the intent of God, but that realization, that hope was not yet made manifest. And so those who were not of the nation of Israel, as Paul says, you were strangers from the covenants of promise. God had made no promises to be fulfilled in their day. They were having no hope because there was no Christ. There was no Messiah without Christ. Aliens from the commonwealth of the people of God. And without God in the world. What a great, tremendous darkness was over all the world for those who are not part of the nation of Israel, or proselytes, those that converted to and subjected themselves to Judaism. They were without God in the world. Without specific promises, without a specific word. Outside, they were not a nation, they were not a people. Another scripture says, you were not a people, but are now called the people of God. So when Jesus came into the world, as he did, when Jesus came into the world, there the announcement that took place, turn to Luke chapter 2. We probably touched on this a little bit already, but Luke chapter 2, it's kind of been my theme verse over the last week or so. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, the very well-known verses of that there was in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night in the darkness. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And they were afraid because this was not a natural light. This was a completely supernatural occurrence. But here to a few shepherds in a field, out in the middle, you might say in the middle of nowhere, was the birth of the Christ announced. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them and lit up the sky. It's not just the sun. We find that Scripture says that in the kingdom of God, there's no need of the sun. There's no need of the sun. Well, how can you have light without the sun? It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual light. It's greater than the sun. But God, the beginning of his announcement and the announcement of the birth of Jesus was there was a great light that shone. The glory of the Lord lit up the landscape. A light, a great light in darkness. God brings us light and understanding. God brings us in our own personal darkness as we proceed through this. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we talk about a spiritual, not just a dark outside, but a spiritual darkness, a spiritual lack of an absence of awareness of the truth of God, of the existence of God. He is in a spiritual realm that we do not have eyes to see. We do not have a mind to understand. We can't seek him out in a sense because we don't know where to look. We don't know how to find God. We can call out for help. We can call out for guidance. We can call out for assistance. We can seek after him, but not with light. We seek out in hope. We seek him out in a yearning and a calling. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The logic, this word means logic, the will. In the beginning was the will and the logic of God that brought the world into existence, the plan of God. And the Word was with God. So here it delineates here that the Word was in some ways separate but united with God. And the Word was God. So the Word was not something different, was something else, but it was God. So God is manifest both in a entity, but also in a will and a principle and a purpose. The same was in the beginning with God, or from the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that was made according to the will and the purpose of God. If we do not understand that, we cannot comprehend that. It is something that God must reveal to us. He must shed light on those facts. And if we will not receive the facts that God would shed to our hearts, we remain in darkness. We remain lost and wandering around in search of something and understanding that we cannot find. So we try to make things up. We try to make up, this is why the world exists, or this is why the world exists, or this is the truth. And that's what the Gentiles figuratively speak of those who knew not God. They simply made things up. This is a pretty neat carving wood statue here. Let's worship that. Here's this, here's that. Yet they did so ignorantly and in darkness. But all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That in itself reflects back to, or forward to, if you would, to Romans chapter 1, where Paul writes that, now the creation itself reveals that there is a brilliance about this creation, a brilliance about everything that is in this world. Everything that exists, the uniqueness of some things, and how the same materials can take so many forms. And there are so many unique things in this world that are simply amazing. Just a little aside here. Recently, I've been reading, and really it started last about 8 months ago or so, but last spring. But it started, just somehow came across an article or some information about different, if you would, weeds, but different plants that are extremely good for you, extremely edible, and they grow wild. And I looked into them and realized that, throughout most of world history, there was not agriculture. People went out and they found food. The Garden of Eden, God provided food. He provided trees. He provided those things for and grasses and things for to feed wildlife, to feed mankind. But for thousands and thousands of years, people grew without the organized agriculture that we think of when we think about growing food. And there is literally food everywhere around us. And there are things that we commonly think of as weeds that were intentionally imported into the United States or exported from the United States and around the world that you can live on, and people have lived on for millennia. Why would God create a world? You know, he didn't create John Deere. He didn't create ConAgra. He didn't create Pioneer Seed. Things ate, things people lived and ate and harvested. God's provided food, and it's everywhere. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life. He provided life to the world, and the life was the light of men. It helped man to understand that they were born into a world in which all of their needs, everything that they needed to live and survive, God had provided. It was just there. We have been surrounded by the grace and the blessings of God from the beginning. We won't read this part here, but how John was called to be a witness of the light that all men through him might believe in verse 7. John said, I am not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light in verse 9, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Jesus is our glimpse, the light, the spiritual light by which we can see and know God. Only Jesus can help us to understand God. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but let me slow down a little bit. Jesus is the spiritual light that helps us, enables us in every way to know the person of God, to know the Father, to know about life, what life is, what it's for, why we're here. All that understanding comes through looking first at Jesus and who he was. And that his announcement of his birth, which we celebrate at this time of year, whether it's this time of year or not, but we celebrate, we daily celebrate the coming of our salvation into this dark and troubled world. And we celebrate the person of Jesus, Jesus, the anointed one of God, to bring us that message. Again, we were Gentiles without God, without hope, aliens from the promises of God. But as John said, Jesus is the light of the world who lighteth all of mankind. All men, verse 7, that all through him might believe. Not to the Jews only, though he fulfilled every one of those prophecies. But with the coming of Jesus, the message of Christ, the message of the love of God for all mankind, for the first time, hope was opened to you and to me, the Gentiles. And that's why when Jesus was doing his works and performing his miracles, how the Gentiles came to the disciples and said, we would see Jesus. We want to see him too. We see these things. We recognize that there is a God who owns this world. I just cringe and find it incredulous that there, you know, I know the Lord has blessed me, he's blessed you with understanding, but to think people think that this world just as it is just seemed to happen, developed, just kind of grew this way. It's almost humorous to think that that's the case, if it weren't so sad. But Jesus came into this world to let us know that he's the one that created this world. He is the Word of God. He is the witness of the Word of God. He's the light that came into this world that we might see God and know that there is a God. Period. And there is a God who loves us. Period. And when we begin to frame our thoughts and our beliefs around that fact, all the pieces come together perfectly in life because of the light of God that gives us spiritual understanding. Let's turn to the Gospel of John chapter 12. John 12. And for the sake of time, let's go to verse 44. Well, better do 35. Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he's going." You don't know where you're going. In natural darkness, when you can't see familiar landmarks or, of course, I'm thinking out in the country. There's been a couple times out late at night in the dark, maybe I'm tracking a deer or something like that, and suddenly I pause and go through all sorts of trees and stuff, and I have to pause and think, where am I exactly? Which direction am I pointing? Am I facing? Which direction am I walking? And it's an unusual feeling to be so dark and so blinded by the environment that literally do not know where you are. You know roughly where you are. I haven't left the county or the section or anything like that, but I just really don't, because you can't recognize anything. Spiritual darkness is the same, but much worse, because we find ourselves walking, we find ourselves getting weary, we find ourselves getting frustrated, we find ourselves walking, and it finally, as it came in my life, is to the point where you go, why am I walking? Where am I going? And why am I going? A spiritual darkness, having no moorings, no understanding, no way of comprehending me. So Jesus said, while you have the light, walk in the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness does not know where he's going. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Jesus was a very clear example. Thousands of people followed him. Thousands of people sought to understand who he was and what he was doing, though they could not. They didn't really fully understand until after his atoning sacrifice. But they knew he was not like anything they'd ever seen before or anyone they'd ever met before. Then we go to verse 44. He says, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he seeth me that seeth him. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. People say, well, if I could just see God, why doesn't God show himself to me? Why doesn't he reveal himself to me? Why does he leave me in this darkness where I'm wandering around? I don't know. I hear these conflicting opinions and conflicting supposed knowledgeable explanations of life on earth and what it's all about. But why doesn't, if there's a God, why doesn't he let me know? If he's God, why does he hide himself from me? What we find is that Jesus was come into the world that he might show us the Father. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words, and believe not, says, I judge him not, for I came to not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at that last day. So Jesus himself did not come to judge the world, but he came to speak the words of that the Father gave him, to do the works that the Father gave him, that we might see in Jesus the Father, that we might see in him the great almighty God that is invisible to our eyes, is beyond our comprehension. God cannot reveal himself to us just completely. We could not comprehend it. We could not comprehend it. There's no person smart enough or understanding enough to comprehend God. But Jesus came to provide a digestible taste or sample of who God is and what he thinks, in a form that we can comprehend and come to know God. Another sideline a little bit here, something that I've been thinking about and mulling around for a few months. And Jesus does talk about it. He says, you know, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend or his brother. And it's really kind of a personal challenge to me, and it can be to you if you would give it consideration. But what cost would you be willing to bear to save another person's life, a stranger's life? What cost? Again, I'm not wanting an answer from you. It's a very real challenge. What cost would you be willing to bear to save someone's life? If they needed a car, would you give them a car? If they needed a home, would you just hand them the keys to your house and walk out? If they needed a retirement fund, would you give them yours? Those are pretty big things. What's your limit? What is your limit? The scripture tells us that God's limit was unlimited. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son to come into this world as a light that we might understand him. And it is through the work of Christ to come into the world, as long as the light was with them, that they should walk in light, they should seek that light, they should follow that light. I'm come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. And realize that there in the person of Jesus is the key to unlock the door to understanding the Almighty God and knowing the Almighty God. It's the key to our spiritual future, our spiritual eternity. If we turn the page to John chapter 14, very familiar verses. So, verses 1 through 4, Jesus is encouraging the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 5, Thomas says, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't understand that. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered that question. Where he's going, he says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. And let me put it this way. No one can come to an understanding of the Almighty God but by understanding who Jesus is and was in this world. And in that we have the light that we need to comprehend what this world is about, why we're here, what we are doing, and that spiritual light can come on in our minds and shine in our hearts, and we can walk with confidence and with boldness and assurance as in the daytime and not get lost. Verse 7, Jesus said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth, or this time forward, you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Again, show us God, and it will satisfy us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Amen. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He's not so much talking about Jesus in the flesh, but he's talking about the works that Jesus did. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. How many people, we read of in Scripture that no man could do these miracles. No one can raise the dead, can heal the sick, can cause blind eyes to see. This does not happen in our world. It doesn't just happen. No one can do these works except the Father, unless God be with them. The people understood that. If you believe in these works, that they are come from God, then believe in the Son, who has also come from God. For the very work's sake, that is a light. That is a light into our souls. And this is a season, a time when we celebrate the light of God has come into the world. Let's turn back here quickly to Gospel of John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3 I'll skip the most well-known verse, verse 3:16. But start with John 3:17, where Jesus says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. God loves the world. He loves the creatures that he created in his image. He has loved us from before the foundation of the world. He has had a purpose and a plan in our lives. That is something that we can believe and rest our hearts and souls on, that God is in every way on our side. He does not want us to be lost. He does not want us to be confused. He does not want us to wander around in the darkness, not knowing who we are, why we're here. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. It's like condemning a blind person for being lost or confused. Well, I don't have the equipment. I don't have the ability to see. Exactly. Without Christ, we do not have the ability to see. We will never figure it out. We will never figure out life until we receive the witness of God in Christ. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. That's the message. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of the coming, the birth of Christ. Is here, finally, our Savior is born. Someone with the flashlight, a spiritual flashlight, to lead us out of darkness into the light of God. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You're already lost in darkness. That's the condemnation. You're already subject to darkness. That's the condemnation. It's he that believes not and receives not the light of God. There is no other way to understand God. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that we might know and understand and be able to glimpse into and more and more, bit by bit, understand God himself and the whole reason for existence. This is the condemnation. This is what condemns those in darkness, that the light is come into the world and men have loved the darkness rather than the light. I don't know how many times I've spoken with people. And they really do enjoy their lives in this world and the habits and the things that they have in this world. And they don't want to believe in Jesus and ruin all the fun. That's what Jesus did. That's why he came in the world. To ruin your life and all the fun that you can have. Well, this is the condemnation, that the light has come, but men have chosen darkness rather than light, because their deeds were ungodly. If you'd rather use the word evil, they were contrary to the things of God. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, because his deeds should be reproved. I want to be right, even though it's wrong. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. He that really seeks to take that courageous, bold, daring move and wants to do what is actually fully true with their lives comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. We welcome the light because it brings us to the truth and to the understanding and the hope. Paul says this. I'm going to skip some references I had here. In Romans 12:1, and I'll close with this. Again, very well-known verses. But Romans 12:1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or most logical. It's the only logical conclusion you can come to. If we are created by God, if we are called by God, if we have the hope of God in Christ, if we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, the only logical conclusion we can come to is more light. More light. Teach me more and more about Jesus, that I can learn more and more about God, that I can understand more and more of who I am and what it is I am called to and why I exist. life just isn't just a kind of a random series of good times and bad. We're not blown about by the whims of the world around us. We're as a ship with a compass and a guide and a destination and the ability of God to cross vast unknown spans of time and space and land exactly where God would have us to be. Because we have light. We have understanding. And as we give ourselves to Him and walk in that light, our lives will be most blessed indeed. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for the fullness of God's gift of life in Christ. And we can come to see the Almighty God through the light that Jesus is. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, that when we were in darkness and we cried out, Father, that you heard our voice, you hear our voice. And the first thing it does, the Holy Spirit leads us and points us to Jesus, that we can gain understanding of the purpose of his coming into the world and the purpose of the work of the cross. That we can live this world, life in this world, with clear eyes and a clear vision of the true intent of the content of each and every day. Father, bless this word to each of us that we might embrace more and more of the light that we celebrate in this season. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
578,
verse 2. Number 578. Let's stand and sing the second verse. 578, verse 2. Brightly doth his Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Amen. If you'd like to pray, worship the Lord, please take time to do so. May God bless you. May God bless you abundantly. Amen.